Want to give congratulations to the class of 2016. I look forward to the recognition tonight and recognizing around 18 graduates from different schools, and we look forward to celebrating with you and to seeing those funny pictures of you when you were a child and all that kind of stuff. And I want to, Eric is going to speak tonight as youth minister who has spent a lot of time with these graduates. And so I want to share some things to the graduating class of 2016 this morning that really pertain to all of us. Where do we go from here? May be a question that our graduates are asking. Maybe it's a question that all of us ask at different points in our lives. Where do we go from here? We always want to fulfill our God-given purpose. And the passage that Chris read for us is a great purpose statement. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And whatever we do, we want to do that. We want to bring God glory by the way that we live. Well, how do we do that? Well, we give God glory by fulfilling His purposes for us. And these things that I want to share would tie in with God's purposes, not just for our graduates, but for all of us. My prayer for you, class of 2016, actually my prayer for each and every one of us, is to find some very important things. Find, number one, your first. Find your first. And what I mean by that is determine what or who is first in your life, your top priority, the center of your existence, the foundation for your life. And if we're going to get it right, we've got to put God first. He must be first in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And that means primarily that we seek the reign of God in our lives. That we establish that He is King. He is the ruler. And so we're going to submit our lives to Him. He is our first and foremost. He's the one that we love supremely. The first and great commandment, Jesus summarized the whole old law, and I believe established an eternal principle. The first and foremost commandment is to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. That's got to be first. So find your first. Establish that first. Because every person has a God. And it may be a God with a little g, or it may be the one true living God. But a God, little g, is whatever has first place in your life. It could be anything. It could be a job, a relationship, a political system. It could be money, even ourselves. But a God is whatever has first place in your life. But we've been created to put God, the one true living God, as first. To allow Him to be the one that we place on the throne of our hearts. He desires and requires no place but first place. The basis of the old covenant was, "You shall have no other gods before Me." Proper worship is directed to God and to Him alone. He alone deserves first place in our lives. Matthew chapter 4, this is in the temptations of Jesus. The devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship Me." And notice Jesus' answer. Jesus said to Him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" Folks, establish that as your first. My God, the God of my life, is going to be the God. The God who created me, who sustains me, who gave His Son to die for me, who is preparing a place for the faithful child of God. Establish your first. Put God first. Keep Him first. Put Him first in everything that you think and say and do. My prayer for you is you find your first, and that first being God. Number two, that you find your faith. And I want to underscore the word your faith. Your faith. You must develop your own faith. Your faith must become indeed your own. Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman, to her shock. And he talked to her about living water that he had to offer her. He spoke to her about true worship. He even told her, again to her shock, that she'd been married 5 times and was now living with a man. He knew so much that he knew all about her past and her present. He even revealed that he was the promised Messiah when she asked, hinting at that. But notice what happened in John chapter 4 after Jesus discusses these things with this Samaritan woman. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And this woman, because of her past and even her present, I believe was the subject of a lot of conversations. And they weren't pleasant conversations in this community of Sychar. She was an immoral person, a sinner, and one that would be whispered about so often. But she's so excited, she leaves her water pot at Jacob's well and rushes into the city and says, "Come see a man who told me all about myself. Could this be the Christ?" And so here comes the men of the city out to the well to see and hear Jesus for themselves. And watch what happens. Verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" But that's not all. Verse 40. "So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed." Why? "Because of his own word." They began to hear Jesus for themselves, and they believed in him. Verse 42. "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You were our introduction, but now we've heard for ourselves, and we believe. Our faith has become our own, is basically what they're saying. And this same process must go on in our lives. Our faith must become our own. Perhaps, graduates, your faith has been primarily the faith of your parents or grandparents. Your faith must become your own. It means you've got to hear for yourself. You've got to see for yourself. You've got to examine for yourself and come to a faith that is your own and not anyone else's. It would delight Eric. It would delight your parents. It would delight your grandparents. It would thrill me to hear you say to me, "My faith is now my own. The things that you have taught me, whether you're talking to your parents or Eric or whomever, that I have found them, I've tested them, I've found them to be true, and so now my faith is my own." Find your faith, which means we need to feed our faith. We need to feed our faith. You may remember the story of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson going camping. And they eat a meal and they retire to their tent. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Sherlock Holmes nudges Watson and asks, "Watson, look up into the sky and tell me what you see." Watson said, "I see millions of stars." Holmes asked, "And what does that tell you?" Watson replied, "Well, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Theologically, it tells me that God is great and we are small and insignificant. Horologically, it tells me that it's about 3 a.m. in the morning. Meteorologically, it tells me that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes reports, "It tells me someone stole our tent." Feed your faith. That may mean looking up to the stars. "For the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork." Hebrews 11 verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." It's a conclusion that each of us must come to on our own, that there is no other satisfactory answer for the creation of the universe than there was someone who created it. And I can say that, your parents can say that, but that's a conclusion you have to reach on your own. But I beg you, examine the evidence. And folks, the evidence abounds. To say that this universe came here by accident requires more faith than saying that God created the heavens and the earth. There is evidence. All the design that you see in the universe shouts, it screams of a designer. But you've got to see that for yourself. So my challenge to you is feed your faith. Consider God's fingerprints. They are indeed everywhere. Romans 1 verse 20. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has left evidence of Himself throughout the universe. Examine it. Feed your faith. Test it. But feeding your faith must also require this, that you study God's Word for yourself. That means don't just listen to the preacher. That means don't just go to Bible class. But you study. You ask the hard questions. And you go to God's Word for the answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which tells us our faith is not going to be built unless we study the Word of God for ourselves. We can't take other people's word for it. You can't take my word for it. You've got to be like the Bereans and take the things which you hear and examine them in light of God's Word to see for yourself that it is truth and that you can not only understand it, but you can stand on it. But it's something each of us must do. So if we're going to find our own personal faith, we've got to feed it by studying the Word of God. John says, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why? These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John says these things are recorded for you to examine and for you to come to that own personal faith that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. So where do we go from here? Find your first, meaning put God first. It's a matter of worship and dedication. Number two, find your faith. Consider the evidence. Develop your own faith. Feed your faith. Number three is find your niches. Find your niche or find your niches. I didn't say find your britches. I said find your niches. And what do we mean by that? Well, a niche is a place or a position suitable or appropriate for a person or a thing. We all want to find our niche, right? We all want to know, where do I fit into the puzzle of life? What's my role? Where do I fit in? Where can I fulfill God's purpose for me to glorify Him? Where's my niche? Here's part of the answer. You belong in God's family. You belong in God's family. When we accept God's invitation to follow Jesus and be saved, at the same moment we're added to His family. It's God's design. Peter said to the Jews on Pentecost who cried out, what shall we do? We've crucified the Son of God. He said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, added to the disciples, added to the church. We're added to God's family. We're born again into God's family when we obey the gospel. And folks, that's God's will for each and every one of us, to be a part of His family. Finding our niche means we need to belong to God's family. Following Christ is not just a matter of believing. It includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. You see, God established the church for us to know and to experience our need for fellowship. And that's to be found within His family. So verses like this come to mind. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. In order to bring praise to God. You remember Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You belong in God's family. Find your place in God's family. Because number two, God wants you to be an active member of the body of Christ. It's just another expression that's used to describe the church. The church is the family of God. The church is the body of Christ. We are to be the hands, the feet, the mouths, the ears, the shoulders for Christ. We are the body of Christ. And it's God's will that each of us find our niche, find our place, find our function in the body of Christ. Paul, in several places in Scripture, compares the church to the human body to illustrate how members must work together with each part performing its function. Let me give you a few of those passages. Romans chapter 12. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." If you're a member of the family of God, you're a member of the body of Christ, which means that each and every one of us has a function. And each of us must exert that function in order for the body to be healthy and to fulfill what God wants. Ephesians 4 is another passage. "From Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Each part. You may feel like a pinky on your hand. That's my role in the body of Christ, but that is a very important role. You may feel like a thumb. I feel like a stick out like a sore thumb, the saying goes. But have you ever thought about how crucial your thumb is? I've seen people without one and they have difficulty grasping things and holding things. Thumb has a vital place, even thumbs. So if you feel like a sore thumb, hey, you're a member of the body of Christ and you have a function. And when we all, every part does its work, then the body of Christ is functioning and it's glorifying God by so doing. Romans 12, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." God has given us, each of us, at least one gift. Use it to His glory. I said find your niches, your niche or your niches. And what I suggest by that is, we may find several ways within the body of Christ to function. And no one said, folks, no one said that we can't grow in different areas of service. No one said you only have one function. So whatever gifts you have and whatever gifts you may develop, use them. Use them. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Verse 11. "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." God is glorified when we use whatever gifts He's given us in His service by serving others. Where do we go from here? Find your first. Put God first. Find your faith. Develop your own. Find your niche or your niches in God's family. And fourthly and finally, find your example or your examples. I want to remind you of an epitaph that I believe is in a cemetery in Indiana. A tombstone with these words: "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." And someone had written underneath that epitaph, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." And that's important to know. I'm not going to follow you until I know, did you go up or down? And it's so important to know. It's vitally important to have examples to follow. But it's even more important to be careful about what examples we follow. Where are they headed? What are their values? What are their goals? Whom are they serving? Pick the very best role models. And here's a great criteria from the Word of God. Follow your role models only to the extent that they follow Jesus. You find those role models. Find your examples. And we have many in this church family. But you follow those role models only to the extent that they follow Jesus. If they stop following Jesus, you stop following them. If their path leads away from Jesus, don't follow them. You follow them only to the extent that they follow Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Follow me, Paul says, only to the extent that I'm following after Jesus. Great counsel for you and for me, which tells us that we need to choose Jesus as our ultimate role model and guide for our lives. I love the wording in the NIV in Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's a wording that I love. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, fix your eyes on Jesus. Men and women are human. We're human. We make mistakes. If I'm looking to a person as the ultimate guide for my life, I'm going to be disappointed because humans make mistakes. Follow people, follow good examples only to the extent that they follow Jesus. But set as your primary example Jesus Himself. Fix your eyes on Him because He will never, ever lead you astray. So my prayer for you, class of 2016, and whatever class you're in, find your first and make it God. Find your faith, develop your own, examine the evidence for yourself. Find your niche in God's family, serving with the body of Christ. And find your examples, the ones that follow, that are striving to follow Jesus. But you fix your eyes on Jesus Himself. It may be that you're ready to take those initial steps of faith and respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus, to be added to His family, to begin your walk with Christ. And if that be the case, we hope and pray that you'll make that decision to confess Jesus, having turned from sin and repentance, and ready to be baptized into Christ so your sins can be washed away. That's where it starts, folks. And it continues by continuing your walk with Jesus. Finding your place in God's family. Finding your niche of service. Finding those ways that you can glorify God by using the gifts that He's given you. By serving others. And it may be that some of us, as we examine our lives, have gotten off track. And we need to ask prayers to help us get back on track, to begin following in the steps of Jesus once again. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.